Nehemiah chapter 7. Father, I pray now as we give our attention to your word, that you would make it come alive to your people this morning. That we would get the information that we need this morning. I ask, Lord, that you would encourage us. I ask, Lord, that you would speak to us. And Lord, I want to pray for anyone especially here this morning who does not know you, who's never entered into a relationship with you. There's something missing in their life. I pray this morning they'd find you. They would open their hearts to you. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. At the 18th Olympics at Tokyo in 1964, these words were spelled out in lights. The most important thing in the Olympic Games is not to win, but to take part. Just as the most important thing in life is not the triumph, but the struggle. The essential thing is to have fought well. Guys, life is a contest. Life is a race. Life is a fight. If anyone here this morning is like me, then you know that there are times when it can be just a tremendous struggle keeping it all together. Ever been there? I mean, all of the responsibilities that we have in this life that demand our time, our energy, and our attention. If you're married and have children, those relationships are very important and you need to work at it. Give your attention to it. You want to keep that all together. And then there's your business or your employment, your job. You want to do well there, right? You want to excel. A lot of hours, a lot of work. You got to keep it all together. And then there's your physical health. You want to stay physically fit, don't you? And you got to work at that. You got to take time to keep it all together, if you know what I mean, there. And then as a born-again Christian, all of us need to be working faithfully for the kingdom of God, being involved in a local church. That should be a priority for all of us, and we need to work at that and keep that together. And then most importantly, if you're a born-again Christian, your relationship with the Lord is priority, right? Amen? And that takes time. That takes energy. That takes work. All of these things that we deal with in life. And let me ask you, how do you keep it all together without going nuts? How do you keep it all together and still experience the joy that Jesus Christ wants you to experience? And the peace that you can have in the Lord Jesus Christ? Let me give you some principles this morning that can help. From the life of Nehemiah. We're in chapter 7, verse 1, and look what Nehemiah says. He says, "Then it was, when the wall was built, and I had hung the doors, when the gatekeepers, the singers, and the Levites had been appointed, that I gave the charge of Jerusalem to my brother Hanani. And Hananiah, the leader of the citadel, for he was a faithful man, and feared God more than many. And I said to them, 'Do not let the gates of Jerusalem be opened until the sun is hot. And while they stand guard, let them shut and bar the doors and appoint guards from among the inhabitants of Jerusalem, one at his watch station and another in front of his own house.' Now the city was large and spacious, but the people in it were few, and the houses were not rebuilt. Then my God put it into my heart to gather the nobles, the rulers, and the people, that they might be registered by genealogy. If you want to keep it all together in life, then you have to have the right mindset. You have to have the type of mindset that Nehemiah had. Nehemiah was a fighter. Nehemiah was tenacious. Nehemiah was a hard worker. He didn't let up. Nehemiah was one of these people who woke up every morning and attacked life, attacked his responsibilities, attacked those issues. And my brother and sister in Christ, if you want to keep it all together in your life, you need that same type of attitude. We need to wake up every morning and spend time with our Lord. Get close to Him, start off our day with Him, and then we need to walk out those front doors and attack life. Attack the responsibilities. Go forward. Don't let up. This is what Nehemiah was like. And I so appreciate his example for us. Do you see how busy he is here in chapter 7? Do you see how hard he's working, gathering all the people? He stays busy. And it's amazing to me, because as we studied last week, he completed the work in chapter 6. In chapter 6, Nehemiah and the nation of Israel had completed the building project. They're finished. They rebuilt the massive walls around Jerusalem, and they did it in 52 days, and they did it despite all this opposition in their life. They had worked very hard. And you would think that Nehemiah would now go on a cruise, if there were cruises in those days. If he had that time, that he would take a breather, that he would take a break, that he would take some time off. But no, you don't see that. In chapter 7, he's still attacking life. He's still fighting. He's still moving forward. Now, I'm not saying that we never take vacations or we never take rest. Hey, we need vacations and we need rest. But you never stop working. You never stop fighting. You have that mindset constantly. And Nehemiah knew something very important that you and I need to remember. He knew that there was the work of building, and then there's the work of maintaining what you've built. You work to build, and then you work to maintain. This is life. They finished building the walls around Jerusalem. Now you see him busy as a bee, working to maintain it all. That's the attitude you have to have in life. It's not you build for a while, then take off a year. Build, take off. Build, take off. No, you build and you work to maintain. You work very hard to build something, to accomplish something, and then you work very hard to maintain and protect your accomplishment. That's how it works in this life. And too many times I will see Christians lose it. They won't keep it all together, because they'll work very hard to get something accomplished in their life, or they'll see God give them this huge, wonderful breakthrough in their life, or this victory, and once that big thing is accomplished, whatever it is, then they say, don't need to worry about that anymore, and they walk away. And they never look at it again, and they never touch it, and they break down. Those of you who have been on a diet, there's a cold, hard fact about diets, right? It's easier to gain what you've lost. Have you noticed that? And you may work very hard to lose weight, to lose the pounds, and you've got your mind set on a goal. This is the weight that you want to be at. And you work hard and you accomplish it and you make that goal. Now what do you have to do? Celebrate with 10 cheeseburgers? go on a food frenzy? No, now it's time to work to maintain it, to change it. Those of you who own a business, man, you work very hard to get that business going, don't you? And then after it's up and running, what do? Just let it go? Absolutely not. You protect it. You work to maintain it. You nurture it. You grow it. Many, many Christians will struggle with sin in their life. Some sort of sin, some habit, whatever it is. And God gives them a victory. A major accomplishment. He builds something. He does something great in your life. And you thank Him for it, and then you sort of walk away and you forget to maintain it and you fall into trouble later. Those of you who struggle with alcoholism or some kind of a habit in your life, and the Lord's given you victory and you're sober for a year, don't celebrate with a drink. You maintain, you protect the accomplishment that God has successfully completed in your life. Amen. Don't go back. In a marriage relationship or in a family relationship, that problem with that child or that problem with that spouse, and you work so hard to get it all together, and it does, it happens, it works, things are good. Don't forget about it. There's building and then there's maintaining. And like Nehemiah, you have got to be tenacious. You've got to fight. We've got to be those who attack life. Nehemiah also had another mindset that I'd like to show you here. And it's important as well. Here we find out that Nehemiah's chief concern was for people. Nehemiah's chief concern was for people. Nehemiah is now busy working with the people of Jerusalem. And you find out here that it was never Nehemiah's ultimate goal to build those walls around Jerusalem. It was always his ultimate goal to build those walls for the benefit and blessing and protection of God's people. It wasn't the walls, it was the people. In the first six chapters, the people existed for the wall, to rebuild the wall. Starting in chapter 7, you will see that the walls exist for the people, for their benefit. And that's how Nehemiah would live his life, with a true concern for other people. And my brother and sister in Christ, if you want to keep it all together in your life, then your chief concern should be for people. The people that God has put in your life. Let me tell you, this will keep you on track. This will keep your priorities in order. You will work hard and you will work hard to maintain things because you love the people in your life. It won't be just about material things and walls and products and stuff. No, it'll be about people. And so you'll go out and you'll get on a diet, mom or dad. You'll get physically fit for the sake of your family, for the people in your life. In fact, husband, if your spouse is sort of nagging you every now and then about the way you eat and stuff, and they say, hey, man, stop eating that way. Listen, don't get bummed out. They love you. They want you to be around longer. But you do everything out of a motivation for people. In your business, it's the people that you work with. It's working with people. Listen, talk to any successful businessman or woman and they will tell you, you are not in the tire business. You are not in the food business. You are not in the whatever business. You're in the people business. You're dealing with people. And certainly in the church, we're dealing with people, right? And our concern should be to love one another as Jesus Christ has loved us. And that's more important than buildings. That's more important than stuff. That's our priority. You keep those two thoughts at the forefront of your mind. Tenacious, fighting, never giving up, building and maintaining, and you keep a chief concern for the people in your life, you be more interested in the interests of others and be more concerned with other people in your life as the New Testament commands, and all things will fall into place in your life. You'll keep it all together, but you have to protect that mindset. Important. And then here in chapter 7, we see Nehemiah with that mindset taking some very important steps. He has rebuilt those walls around Jerusalem. Now he wants to maintain it. Now he wants to protect it. And he does some very important things here. First and foremost, he appoints leadership in his life. He enlists helpers. He delegates. He appoints people into key positions of leadership in his life. In verse 2, it says he gave the charge of Jerusalem to his brother Hanani, and Hananiah, the leader of the citadel. Hananiah will take care of the civic duties of Jerusalem now that the walls are rebuilt. Hananiah will take care of the military duties. In verse 1, it says, when the wall was built and I had hung the doors, when the gatekeepers, the singers, and the Levites had been appointed, he appointed gatekeepers, he appointed guards to take care of the security detail of the city. He appointed Levites and singers, and later on in the chapter he mentions priests. So Nehemiah will surround himself with quality, capable, competent, expert leadership to help him govern the city. And you can bet your bottom dollar that Nehemiah chose his leaders very carefully. He selected them very wisely. You need good leadership in leadership positions, don't you? And Nehemiah knew that, and no doubt he prayed about it before he selected these guys. These guys will be with him. They will give him advice. They will keep him informed. They will help him to lead. They got to be top notch. A tragedy when weak men are in important places, when little men are in big jobs. As one person said, when little men cast long shadows, it's a sign that the sun is setting. I like that. So first and foremost, he gets help. Quality leadership to help him govern. My brother and sister in Christ, listen carefully to me. If you want to keep it all together in your life, then there must be very good, very strong, very capable, competent leadership in your life. There must be people in your life who have walked down the road before you have. You must have mentors in your life that can help you along. And the obvious application would be in a church. Obviously, in a local church, you got to have very strong, spiritual, competent leadership. You could also apply it to your business. You know you got to have the right people in the right places, right? But I don't want to just apply that to you. My brother and sister in Christ, I encourage you to seek out and submit to quality leadership in your life. Find mentors. Find people who can help you and who can give you the right advice that you need. Godly men and women who can lead you in following Christ, and godly men and women who can help you in your business, in other areas of life. Enlist them. Seek them out. You know, many Christians that I know seem to be afraid to open their mouths and ask for help. They're afraid that somebody might look upon them as being weak or something. And I do know that Jesus Christ is our ultimate leader. Amen? Right? He's the good shepherd. We go to him. But did you know that Jesus will oftentimes give us great advice through leaders that he puts in our life? and seek them out. You could get some advice from somebody who's a quality leader in your life that could change your life forever and help you. As I look back over my life, I am so grateful for the various men and women that God placed in my life to mentor me, to lead me, in all areas of my life. As many of you know, I was an electrical engineer. That's what I got my degree in. And I worked as a double E in Albuquerque for a number of years, and even here in El Paso when we were planning the church. And I remember my very first boss as an engineer. God blessed me so greatly. He was a very strong Christian man. And what a blessing to work for a boss who loved Jesus and, oh, by the way, was also a PhD in physics and astrodynamics. And so me and this guy, we could go to lunch and he could give me great advice about how to follow Christ. And you know what? He also gave me great advice about how to be a competent, effective, successful engineer. And then I've been in other jobs where I didn't have a Christian boss or Christian workers, but I would make relationships with other brothers in the Lord who were engineers, and I'd meet with them regularly and get advice from them. You need those people in your life. Family problems, marital problems, parenting problems. Hey, get some advice. Seek out competent help. Look for leaders that love Jesus Christ who can help you. I am so thankful that at our church where I used to be at in Albuquerque, before Kim and I were allowed to get married, we had to go through a premarital counseling class. And it was intense. And it was good. We needed it. We needed help. We needed leadership. We needed the right advice. Man, it's easier to get a marriage, a wedding certificate in this country than it is to get a driver's license. We need to make it harder for people to get married and have them think through the issues and give them that advice. Give them that wisdom. I'm so grateful that I got that information. Parenting. When we became parents. Woo, you find out how little you know when you become a parent. When my precious little Lindsay came along, it was a crazy, crazy time in our life. We are moving into a brand new house. Our church was moving from the YMCA into a new suite. The very same week that Lindsay was born. And all of this going on, and you know, those little babies cry. They get upset and they're on their own schedule and they have this deal where they'll wake up in the middle of the night and make sure everybody else in the house is awake as well. And we're wondering, what do we do with this beautiful little baby that cries? How do we parent? What do we say? And we went to some people who had been parents before, some godly men and women. And we asked, what did you do? And they gave us some information. And listen, it changed. It changed our life, literally. We got information that helped us. I am telling you, enlist leadership in your life. Find mentors. You need that help to keep it all together, to help govern your life. Nehemiah knew he needed it. And so he did it. He took another important step here. He beefed up security. Did you notice that? He strengthened his security. In verse 3, he says, I said to them, do not let the gates of Jerusalem be opened until the sun is hot. And while they stand guard, let them shut and bar the doors and appoint guards from among the inhabitants of Jerusalem, one at his watch station and another in front of his own house. Nehemiah was a security freak. He really was. He was into protecting the city. Now they have the massive walls around the city to protect them. They're rebuilt, they're repaired, they're ready. But he doesn't stop. He adds more security detail. He gives them information on what to do. Hey, those gates are not to rise up until the sun is up and it's hot. There is to be a guard stationed there. He initiated a neighborhood watch system. He put guards on the gates. He put guards in the neighborhood. He set up safeguards everywhere in that city, even after the walls were rebuilt. He was a security freak. And let me tell you, brother and sister in Christ, you want to keep it all together in your life, you need to be a security freak. And that's part of maintaining what God has built. You need to be sure to put safeguards in your life. Put guards on patrol. Put gates in your life. Set limits in your life. Monitor your life. Watch your life. Watch your family. Watch your business. Do those things that will protect your business and your family financially. Get out of debt, stay out of debt, and start saving. And put safeguards in your life to keep the saving going. Protect your marriage. As you live together longer and longer with your husband and your wife, you get to know them pretty good, don't you? In fact, you get to know your wife or your husband so good that you always know their hot button, right? That little button that you can press that makes them go, zerk. You know that's there. You know that exists. Safeguard in your life. I will not press the hot button. Hot button is off limits. Don't touch. Parents, safeguard your children. Monitor what they watch on TV, my friend. Monitor what websites they visit. My little 5-year-old Dylan, he's the techie of the house. He knows how to surf, man. His older brother and sister, when they have questions about the computer, they come to little Dylan. Can you help? He's on the computer. We have to monitor that little kid. And I will monitor my children, the friends that they hang out with. I will put curfews in their life. I will put restrictions in their life because, you see, they're very important to me. God has a very big plan that He wants to do in their lives, and I want to protect that. I will put safeguards in my children's life. I will put safeguards in my life. I will keep my guard up. The sin that you might struggle with in your life, cut it off and put safeguards in place. Real things that will limit you and keep you from that activity. Physical health. Put safeguards in your life. Put a button on the dash of your car that says, "This car does not stop at donut shops." And remind you, you're building, you're maintaining, you're setting up security points, guards, everywhere in your life. You have to do it. That's the only way to keep it all together, my friend. You can't be lazy, you can't procrastinate. You can't ever let up. And that's just the way life is. Same for your Christian walk. Don't ever let up. My brother and sister in Christ, when you got saved, when you gave your heart to the Lord Jesus Christ, God did an amazing thing in your life. You became a born-again Christian. You got forgiven of all your sins. The Lord put His Spirit in you and gave you an understanding of His Word. And there's these wonderful things that God has accomplished in your life as a Christian. Don't let that go. Don't let the enemy rip you off. Safeguard it. Protect it. Listen to what John said in 2 John chapter, or verse 8. He said, "Look to yourselves, Christians, that we do not lose those things we worked for, but that we may receive a full reward." As a church, we have to put in safeguards, don't we? We have to constantly be on the lookout for false teaching, false prophets, anything that might corrupt our fellowship, our body. And we need to make sure that we're staying true and faithful to the true priorities of a Christian church. And so I'm on the lookout. I've instructed the elders at this church to be on the lookout and to keep us on track. Warren Wiersbe said, "If God's people don't protect what they have accomplished for the Lord, the enemy will come in and take it over." What a tragedy that schools that once were true to the faith are today denying the faith. And churches that once preached the gospel now have in their pulpits ministers who preach another gospel. Every Christian ministry is one short generation away from destruction. And God's people must be on guard. Enlist leadership. Be a security freak. And then the other thing that Nehemiah did, very important, he established community in his life. Again, in verse 4, it says, "Now the city was large and spacious, but the people in it were few, and the houses were not rebuilt. Then my God put it into my heart to gather the nobles, the rulers, and the people, that they might be registered by genealogy." Now, this is awesome. Important step. They have rebuilt the walls around Jerusalem, and now Nehemiah is walking down the streets, and he notices that it's kind of a ghost town. It's rebuilt, there's a lot of room, it's very spacious, but there's no houses built and there's nobody in the city. And so Nehemiah will now begin to take steps to repopulate that city of Jerusalem with the Jewish people, the people of God. And you will see that it's Nehemiah's desire and heart and plan and goal to have God's people living together, worshiping together, praying together, laughing together, knit close together. He will establish community. He will establish a place of fellowship. He gives an environment for God's people to get to know each other and really, really become a part of people's lives. Important. Most of chapter 7, if you notice, is a big, long list. And I'm not going to read it to you this morning. I'll spare you. If you would like to practice your Hebrew name pronunciation skills, I would invite you to go ahead and read that sometime later today. But let me just summarize. He's going to get all the people together and find out who's returned from the exile. And he'll look at the records and all these people that have returned in the exile, he'll find priests that have come back, the various clans, the various leaders, the singers, the gatekeepers, the Levites, the temple servants, all of that. And if you skip down to verse 66, it says, "Although the whole assembly, altogether, the whole assembly was 42,360. Besides their male and female servants, of whom there were 7,337, and they had 245 men and women singers." So a little bit of little under 50,000 people that they want to get repopulated into the city. In verse 68 and 69, it tells us that they brought with them a bunch of animals. And in verses 70 through 72, it tells us that many who came back to the land brought offerings of gold to help them in the work. And here's Nehemiah's desire. All of these people have come back to the land, and there's more people that came back to the land. They're not living in Jerusalem. They're sort of spread out around the region. Various surrounding regions. They haven't moved into Nehemiah or to Jerusalem. And now that Nehemiah has rebuilt the walls around Jerusalem, he says, hey, come on, move in. This is the capital of our nation. Let's get all these people together in the same place. Let's establish that community. And how important that they would do that. These people, I'll tell you, they were very important. We don't know a lot about the names in this list, but I'm telling you, these were pioneers of faith. They came back. They obeyed the Lord. And good thing they did. They were sort of like a living link that connected the prophetic past to the prophetic future and will allow Jesus to come in later. The Jews needed to be established so that the Messiah would come, and they would need to rebuild those walls around Jerusalem and the city of Jerusalem, for one day our Messiah, Jesus, would come to Jerusalem. And there he would suffer and die for the sins of the world. How important that these people came back. What a plan that God had for their life. And now Nehemiah wants them to live together. To be joined together. My brother and sister in Christ, you want to keep it all together in your life? Establish community in your life. Surround yourself with people who love God. Be involved in the body of Christ. Join with your brothers and sisters in Christ and establish community with them. We need to be those who worship together, pray together, study together. And how about this one? Laugh together. Enjoy one another. This keeps life together. This is what Christians need. And you know what? Here in America, we don't have it that good. We're too busy watching our DVDs or playing our Game Boys or going to see the latest movie. When's the last time you invited a family at this church to your house for dinner and then just to sit around and talk? When's the last time you hung out with a brother or sister in Christ? You need that. We desperately need that. It increases the support in your life and it enables you to be a support to other people. A recently converted Christian said this, "You know, the only thing I miss is the fellowship I used to have with all the guys down at the tavern. We used to sit around, laugh, and drink a pitcher of beer, tell stories, and let our hair down. I can't find fellowship like that with Christians." How tragic. How absolutely tragic. Hang out with each other. Share life with each other. I am so blessed when I see some of you after Sunday service. I see you sort of gather together in a group and off you go to a restaurant to have lunch together. Do that! Invite people over to your house for dinner. Guys, go out and play golf with your brothers in Christ. Have fun together! Mutually exist together, live together, play together, worship together, serve together. Support one another. I would like to see more of that in our fellowship. We need to work on that at this fellowship. There needs to be more environments for us to really get to know one another. Maybe other home fellowships that need to be born where we meet together in each other's houses. You need to understand that there is a women's ministry that meets on Tuesday morning and Monday night, and that'll be starting up pretty soon. Hey, two ways for sisters to get to know each other in Jesus Christ. Men's ministry. The singles ministry. We're looking into, very soon, we will be starting a college ministry. There will be Spanish ministry. All of these different things will come out, and we need to see it, and that's because we need to get to know each other and hang out with one another. And you may be here and you may be thinking, it's so hard to get to know people. I'm having such a hard time. Listen to what Dale Carnegie said. He said, you can make more friends in 2 months by becoming interested in other people than you can in 2 years by trying to get other people interested in you. Get interested in other people. Make the effort. Reach out. Community. Something to be enjoyed. Something to have in your life that keeps it all together. One person said Christians can be grouped into two categories, marbles and grapes. Marbles are single units that don't affect each other except in collision. Grapes, on the other hand, mingle juices. Each one is a part of the fragrance of the church body. The early Christians didn't bounce around like loose marbles ricocheting in all directions. Picture them as a cluster of ripe grapes squeezed together by persecution, bleeding and mingling into one another. Fellowship and worship, then, is genuine Christianity freely shared among God's family members. Are you a grape or are you a marble? Be a grape. Sounds kind of funny. Be a grape. Get involved with your brothers and sisters in Christ. Listen to me. You can keep it all together in your life. And you can do so with joy. You can do so with power. You can do so with the peace of Jesus Christ. Be a fighter. Attack life. Build and maintain. Let your chief concern in this life be the people that God has put in your life. You're working for the benefit of others. Enlist leadership in your life. Have mentors in your life. And by the way, let me add, become a mentor to someone else. Put safeguards in your life. Establish community in your life. When we continue our study in the book of Nehemiah, you'll see that the rest of the book has to do with our relationship with the Lord and our spiritual rejuvenation. And of course, that is very important as well, to keeping it all together. But just some basic, simple lessons that can help us this morning. I'd like you to bow your head and close your eyes. Lord, first of all, we want to thank you for the marvelous example that you've given us in Nehemiah. Lord, as we look upon his life, we see that he made a difference with his life. He made an impact. His life counted. Not only for you, but for many people. You used him as a mighty benefit for many, many people. And Lord, we want to be the same way. We want our lives to count. And Father, I pray that you would give us great skill in managing all the responsibilities in our life. I ask, Lord, that we would be tenacious, that we would be proactive. I ask, Lord, that we would do those things to safeguard our life. And Lord, above everything else, I pray that your people would guard very carefully their relationship with you. All the things that you have accomplished in our life, Lord, we don't want those to go away. We want those to be protected. All the work, Lord, that you have done and that we have done for you, we want it to keep being something that is successful. Something that is alive. Father, I pray that you would establish true Christian community in our fellowship. I pray, Lord, that relationships among your people here would blossom. That there would be long-lasting friendships made at this fellowship. That we would enjoy life together. And then, Lord, I pray if there would be anyone here this morning who's never given their heart to you, who's never coming into your family, that they would do so this morning. You need to understand that you have to have God in your life to keep it all together. You can't do life by yourself successfully. You can't. The responsibilities of life will squash you. You may be good at a few, but other things in your life, like family or something else, they'll be squashed. You need the power of God in your life. The Bible says that you can come into His family, the family of God, by putting your faith and trust in the Lord Jesus Christ, who went to the cross at Calvary, and the Bible says died on the cross for your sins. He paid the penalty. And He rose again the third day. And you can have Him become your Savior right now. And that is the first step to take to get it all together in your life. To have that supernatural experience, that born-again experience. Those of you who have never made that decision, I'm going to invite you to do so right now. I'm going to invite you to, in your heart, repeat this prayer after me. And be sincere. Be serious. It's a prayer where you offer your life to Jesus Christ. You ask Him to be your Savior. Just simply after me in your heart, say, Lord Jesus, be my Savior. I admit that I need your help. I have sinned. I have blown it. And I thank you for dying on the cross for my sins. And I ask you to become my Savior, to give me a brand new fresh start. I put my faith and my trust in you right now. Fill me with your Spirit. Give me a new, wonderful understanding of your Word. Change my life forever. Put my life back together again. You're the potter, I'm the clay, and you mold and shape and you make beautiful things. Make a beautiful thing out of my life. In Jesus' name, amen. We're going to stand and sing a song. Can we sing? I'd like the elders to come forward, the counselors, and we're going to be up here in the front. And as we sing this last song, if you prayed that prayer to receive Christ, I'd like you to come forward and just a public display. Let people know that you have invited Christ to become your Savior. And we'll cheer for you. We'll clap for you. We'll get on board with you. We'll want to support you. If you need prayer for any other reason, I would invite you to come forward this morning. We'll be waiting. Let's all sing.